Then you raise your voice and your eyes blaze and your lips curl back on your teeth. Your face goes red, your heart beats rapidly, and you stand. If you've got a difficult phone call to make, you always stand and talk. Words are important. I know the professionals say it's only about 7% of the impact of what's taking place when we communicate is based around words. But as a communicator, can I say to you that words have a lot more than 7% weight in your world? The words you use and the way you use your words script not only your present but also your future. And so words are not just for communication, they are for creation. And they frame our world. They certainly change the atmosphere around our life. We started our year talking about vision, and we did a series called All In. It's our theme. It's on our light boxes for the year. We'll be referencing it from time to time. And we started the year with this series about vision, of being all in terms of Jesus asks us to lay our life down and to follow him and take up our cross and follow him. It means give everything, be everything for him. And we zoned ourselves around that thought for a number of weeks. We then moved on to another thought, and Pastor Marichella, she referenced, spoke last week on stretching or snapping. Stretch or snap. She talked about having emotional snaps, mind snaps, and vision snaps. You know the thing I hate about when we preach is this. Is the moment we speak it, we be it. And is anyone in the room game enough to admit that maybe you had a little bit of emotional snap this week? Yeah? Come on. You know whose fault that is? Everyone point down here. Point down here. Come on, because the moment we preach it, people start to live it. And Mr. Snappy came out a few times this week, and there's a little bit of emotional snap going on, a little bit of mind snap going on, a little bit of vision snap going on, because when you preach it, you're tested. When you preach it, you're tested. And it kind of tests us as a church and as leaders, and there was a little bit of snappiness around my world this week. But moving right along, words are important, and if you don't think they're important, go home and exchange a few words and see how powerful they are. See how it changes the atmosphere and the environment when you use the wrong word. See, I think very clearly and cleverly about the words I use here, but I don't always give that due thought to the words I use in relationship with people. So I don't always have the time to process. I don't always have the time to plan. I don't always have the time to script. And what we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks is the priority and the importance of scripting. Because scripting is really important, because it helps steer the direction of our life, not only our present atmosphere, but our future story. So here we go. What we do as a church. We started out at the beginning of the year talking about what we do as a church. This is our vision statement as a church. The words are very clear, and the words hopefully are very clever in terms of describing what we practically do as a church. We empower people. That's what we do. We empower people to keep advancing. We do that, the underscore of this, which we unpack on Vision Sunday, is we do that through the life-giving message of Jesus Christ. So it's not us who empower, but it's God that empowers through his word, through his Holy Spirit, the people of God. So we empower people to keep advancing. We consider everyone. In other words, we're going to be considerate of people, all shapes and all sizes and all colors, from all nations, from all languages, from all postures and positions in life. We're considerate of everybody, and we express life. That's what we're here to do. We're here to express life and the possibility and the hope and the potential of life that encourage us to move life forward. We're here to move life forward for people. We want to see people move on. Wherever you're at, it's okay. It's simply where you're at. It's not where you're going to live. It's where you're at the moment. You've got to embrace where you're at so you can move forward to a preferred future, to a desired place, to a point of vision. And although where you're at, it may be good, well, it's not good enough. That's the truth. And the thought is God wants us all to move forward, so we don't stay where we are and we don't stay who we are. Psalm 45, verse 1. It says this. This is our thought to launch from today. The psalmist, this is actually a poem. It's a poem that was written for the king that they translated into a song. And here the sons of Korah sat down and they wrote this particular psalm, this poem, to be sung for the king at special events. And it's a song and a poem all about the worthiness of the king, the glamour of the king, the status of the king, the power of the king, the authority of the king. And it's all, of course, reflective of Jesus and prophetic of him. And here the psalmist starts out and says, "My heart is stirred by a noble theme. My heart is stirred by a noble theme." I wonder what stirs you today. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. I like the words and I love the way they're framed. And I can see the thought that's gone into preparing these phrases from the psalmist as they wrote this poem. See, they were the king's poets. They were the king's scribes. And so they were people that were very thoughtful and careful about the words they used because they knew what those words would stir in the heart of the king and those in the kingdom. And so the psalmist says, my heart is stirred by a noble theme, a pleasant thought, something of excellence. It's praiseworthy. As I recite my thoughts and my verses for the king, my tongue is like the pen of a skillful writer. I love particularly the thought there that my tongue is like a pen of a skillful writer. Scribes in those days, let's just say it was a day when this was penned. It was a day when, well, words weren't given the priority that we might give them necessarily today. Being a scribe was not a popular vocation in that day. There was a special few that were scribes, and it seemed like there were a special few that really weighed the full benefit and value and potential of words. What the scribes would do is they would scribe the words of the king, or they would scribe words for the king. That's how it worked in that day. It was only for royalty. And so the words were scribed by a writer, and he would carefully process and think through these words. He would record what the king said so that it became law and it would be acted on. Now, we're familiar with the thought of a scribe today, but we're more familiar with it in terms of scripting in the thought of like drama. Like if you're involved in drama at school or university or as a career in the creative arts, if you're involved in drama, you're used to using a script. A script is given to you. If you're an actor, you're a performer, or if you're a politician, you're given a certain script that you're meant to work from, a script that you're meant to adhere to. Computer programming also has scripting. Scripting, so that computers can talk. The program does exactly what the script says it's to do. So here the psalmist is referring to the tongue like being the pen of a skillful writer that writes the script that we live by. In other words, he's simply saying words set the course and the direction for our lives. Our words set the course and the direction for our lives. Let's now go to the New Testament, James chapter 3, verses 2 to 6. It's a good verse, verse 2, for every man in the room. It says this: we get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. We get it wrong nearly every time we open. Anyone feel like that when you talk? Every time I open my mouth, I get it wrong, is what James says. Of course, he's talking about that in the context. Verse 1 is a warning about being a teacher. He says, let not many seek to be teachers, because teachers will be held to greater accountability for the words they use. And then he says in verse 2, we get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. And that's how we feel sometimes as teachers. It's a difficult thing, a delicate thing, a special thing to speak to people and teach people. So we get it wrong often, is what he's saying. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. He goes on in the next verse and says, a bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets the course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of the mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world. You can turn harmony into chaos. You can throw mud on a reputation. You can send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. Words are important. Ask the psalmist. Ask James whether they think words are important. James kind of shares the same or similar thought that the psalmist has shared. And here he describes how the powerful beast, like a horse, is controlled by a tiny bit that's placed in its mouth that controls every turn of that powerful beast by the bit that's placed in its mouth. He talks about a huge, Darrell Eastlake passed away this week, that's just for him, a huge, everyone say huge, huge ship. It's a big boat. It's controlled by a tiny rudder. A tiny rudder controls the direction of a huge ship. And he says a skilled captain can take that huge ship with that tiny rudder and steer his way into the fiercest of storms. And then he likens that bit that's in the horse's mouth, and he likens that rudder of the big ship to our tongue. And he talks about how that little member that seems of very little value and priority and importance really plays such an important part, because it directs your life and your future story. It's like a steering wheel on a car that directs where the car goes. Words control, they direct, they set the course of life. So words script our atmosphere, our life atmosphere. They also script our life direction. Words have power. Words have power to heal. Words have power to hurt. Words have power to soothe. Words have power to upset. Words have power to love. Words have power to hate. Power to help. Power to hinder. Power to create harmony. Power to create chaos. Power to build a reputation. Power to destroy a reputation. Power to add life and solution. Power to instill fear and pain. Words are powerful. Proverbs 15:4 says, gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement. So Proverbs 18:21 says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit, you choose. They're either poison or fruit, you choose. Proverbs 16:24. Proverbs has so much to say about words. It says, gracious words are like honeycomb. Who doesn't like a little bit of honeycomb? I mean, isn't a honeycomb just one of the sweetest and best things you could ever put in your mouth? And here he says, gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. You know, although the Bible has so much to say about words and the priority and the value and the importance of words and our selection of them, our usage of them and the benefit of them, the truth is many people still misunderstand the value and the priority of their words and the impact they have on life and also relationships. Many underscore or misrepresent the value and the power that words have on life. A lot of people just have the attitude, well, I speak my mind. Well, just because you have a mind doesn't mean you have to speak it. Just because you think it doesn't mean you have to say it. How many of you know it wouldn't be good if I said everything I thought? And sometimes you ever just started to say something and thought, no, pull it up right there. Stop right there. It's not going to be helpful. That's going to hurt. That's going to hinder. And sometimes I wish I could identify that quicker than I do. Sometimes it's not until it's past the lips that I'm thinking, yeah, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt. That's not only going to hurt them, that's going to hurt me, that's going to hurt us because of words. That's how powerful words are. Just because you have an opinion doesn't mean you have to share it. We're all entitled to an opinion. We're all entitled to our thought. We're all entitled to our mind. But we need to use this little thing called a filter. a filter. When Cheryl and I first went to live in the country, which when you go to live in, when I say the country, I mean like we live half an hour away, and a tambourine. And when I say country, what I mean is we have water tanks. You don't just turn on the taps and they come through pipes to our place. All our water needs to be harvested from the roof and goes into water tanks. And so we're self-sufficient in terms of all of that. And the trouble with that is we have possums on the roof, and possums do their business on the roof, and birds do their business on the roof, and it all goes into the gutter with the water that's going to wash into our tanks that we're going to drink in our valley. Now, moving from the city to the country, in the city it was easy. You just turned on the tap. You had a constant supply of clean, supposedly filtered water at some level. But in the country, we went down there and we didn't even know whether we had a filter on the tank, because I'd never had a tank before, and Cheryl was getting sick and the kids were getting sick. I was the only one not getting sick because I'm Iron Man. And so I didn't get, they were all getting sick. And so we went and talked to a pump person down at a water pump shop. You discover all these things when you start to live out a bit further. We went to Jimboomba, and in Jimboomba there's a water pump shop. Went down and had a chat, and he said, "Do you have a filter?" I'm thinking, a filter? Filter. Let's go home and have a look and see if we've got a filter. So went and had a look at the tank. Yeah, we had a filter. It was a little blue thing about this big, because he's saying you should have two or three on the tank. We had one. And so he said, open the filter and see how clean it is. So I opened the filter, and you should have seen this thing. It was black, it was ugly, it was smelly, and it was way past its date. Every 6 months you're supposed to change the filter, because the filter's there to gather all the junk. It's there to gather all the rubbish. It had been there probably for about 15 years unchanged. And so it was amazing when we changed the filter and whacked a few other filters on there, and now there's a three-stage filtering system. All of a sudden we have clean water, and it's beautiful, and it's lovely, and it tastes fresh, free from the additions of the possums and the birds, and it's good for our bellies. It's a good thing to filter not only your water, but your thoughts and your opinions and your attitudes, because it'll help relationships, it'll help communication, rather than just saying it as it is and saying your opinion in an inappropriate way, in an inappropriate moment, because that is only going to hurt and that is only going to do damage. So when I say filter, in terms of the way we talk and the words we use and the communication that we share, what I mean is consider your words. Consider your words and communicate carefully. You see, some people just communicate their feelings without any filter, and communicate their, I guess, their negativity sometimes without any filter. Negative emotions, they just spew out on somebody, be it a husband, be it a wife, be it a friend, be it a colleague. Just spew it out inappropriately. And when you do that inappropriately, what happens is it causes a mess. It causes a mess relationally. It causes a mess socially. It causes a mess in the environment that you're currently in. And strife and drama quickly surround the world of the person that does not filter the way that they communicate. And oftentimes people that do that refuse to understand what the Bible says, that our words are important and have scripted and created the chaos and drama we live in. Remember what James said, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. So the sooner we recognize the creative power of words, the sooner we can script a better future and a better story. Because words are not just sounds. They're not just sounds. They're not just for communication, they're for creating. They're life-giving. They can even be prophetic for us, because they build our future. And they create the script that sets the story and the course for our life. So scripting, three simple thoughts about scripting today. Firstly, our tongue writes the script for our future. Our tongue writes the script for our future. Here's what I think we should do. What I think we should do is I think we should use our tongues to speak of a future we want more than speaking of a future we don't want. So speak more of the things that you actually want rather than speaking of the things that you don't want. In other words, don't live with unfiltered complaints. Now, complaining is what we all do. There's not a person in this room that doesn't complain. There's not a person in this room that doesn't like to have a good old whinge every now and then. We all do it. It's human to have a complaint. It's human to have, particularly when you feel ripped off, particularly when something that is promised is not delivered, we issue a complaint. But there's ways to complain. There's ways to complain, and there's a right spirit that we need to complain in. The thought with complaining is this, is make sure you don't build a spirit of complaint and a first response of complaint in your heart, because that just builds a really negative atmosphere and environment around your personal world. Don't make complaining, whining, or griping a habit or a pattern. Don't make it your default or your first go-to. Don't make it that. You can have a whinge. You can have a little bit of a complaint. You can raise the issue, but don't be the kind of person that just always goes there. There was a lot of complainers in the Bible. Our very first father was a complainer, Adam. Adam was the very first complainer in the Bible. He blamed his wife. He said, God, this woman you gave me. This woman, this one here. What, that one? The only one I've created. Yes, that one. Eve. It's her fault. Eve complained. She complained about her husband. Not only her husband, she complained about the serpent, the snake, the devil. And she blamed him. In the book of Exodus, God's people complained about Pastor Moses. They complained about Pastor Moses. We don't want him. We don't sack him. We want to go back to Pastor Pharaoh in Egypt, is what they said. And not only did the people complain about Pastor Moses complained about the people. And it still goes on today. People complain about the pastor. And that's okay, because the pastor complains about the people. We're all complaining, don't we? Don't we? We do. We all complain from time to time. Some of you are complaining right now. In your own mind. You're framing complaint right now. We complain. Pastors complain about people. People complain about pastors. We complain about each other. The thing about complaint in the Bible is this. It was complaint that kept them out of the in the wilderness and out of the promised land, out of the promises of God. It kept them out of the full potential because they lived with a spirit of complaint. They didn't just complain once. They lived with a spirit of complaint and an attitude and a disposition, a posture of complaining. Complaining compulsively does not make anything better. Complaining compulsively does not make anything better. Nothing gets better by complaining in a negative or a destructive way. The truth is that complaining has a negative effect not only on your present state but also on your future being. Not only on your present state but also on your future being. And what happens is complainers quite often create a future where the only people that want to hang around them are the compulsive complainers, because they create that kind of environment. So if you have a complaint, here's the thought. If you have a complaint, with your complaint, let it be a catalyst to make something better. Let it be a catalyst to make something better. So you don't yell at anybody. You don't accuse anybody. You don't make it personal. You just express your complaint as a catalyst for things to be improved, for things to be done better. So you use complaint as a positive, constructive exchange that's going to help both parties. It's going to help the business. It's going to help you as a person or a business leader or whatever it might be. Use complaint to be creative and come up with answers and solutions rather than living in an atmosphere of negative complaint. So scripting. Scripting. Imagine today if we all decided to leave complaining out of our pattern of communication. Just leaving complaining alone. If we're able to walk away from it, for those that have a compulsive desire to complain, to leave it alone. To leave it alone and walk away from it. So in other words, we stop complaining about the boss. We stop complaining about the employees. We stop complaining about the job. We stop complaining about the career. We stop complaining about our partner. We stop complaining about the things that we don't have. Where we learn to stop complaint. Where we take ownership of the things that agitate us. We take ownership personally of the things that agitate us. Imagine the difference that would make in your atmosphere, in your emotions, in your relationships, in your connections, in your faith. Complaining about God. Well, complaining about God is, God's big enough to take it, let me just say that. But then he might ask you if you're big enough to take it as he delivers the favor back. Job did it. Job had a few things he wanted to tell God after the things he'd gone through. And can you blame him? Can you blame him? It's a pretty difficult story, the story of Job as you read it and all the loss that he suffered. I'll tell you a few things, God. And then God said, okay, around about chapter 40, 38, he says, okay, Job, here's my response. And he says these two words. I can't count. He says two words. He said, brace yourself. When God says, brace yourself, like, go into hiding, look out, what's he going to say? And God just gave it to him. So, you know, you can complain against God, but God just might say, brace yourself. Psalm 119, verse 14, it says, let the words of my mouth, great old song and scripture we used to sing, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. This is how scripting works. Scripting has a certain pattern. The source of scripting, according to Jesus, is our heart. It's our heart, not our literal heart that pumps our blood, but it's that part that's referred to in the makeup of a human being that is our soul, where our mind, our will, and our emotions are. It's the real control center of who we are. And here the psalmist says that the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. So it's that thought process, our attitudes are developed there, our feelings and emotions are all contained there. The source of all of our scripting comes from our heart. Jesus said it's out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so the source of scripting is the heart. Can you put the next screen on, please, boys? There it is. The script are the words that we actually use. The script is the words that we speak when we're talking to someone, when we're sharing, when we're teaching, when we're communicating. And then the story is the future that we create because of the source heart that it has produced, and the script, the words that we have been using. Which leads us to our second point about scripting, that scripting flows from the theme of our heart. It flows from the theme, or as Jesus said, from the overflow, the ponderings, the meditations of our heart. So here's my question for every one of us today. What's the theme of your heart? What's the stirring of your heart today? Is it negative? Is it positive? Is it destructive? Is it creative? Is it neutral? Or is it engaged? Is it one of complaining or complimenting? Is it one that is stingy or one that is generous? What's the meditation and the stirring and the script of your heart? Because we are the script writers for our future story. We are our own script writers, like the pen of a skillful writer. Our words are scripting the future story that we will have. And so the psalmist says, my heart is stirred by a noble theme. By a noble theme. What is your heart stirred by today? What's the theme of your heart? Is it noble? Is it noble, the thing that stirs your heart? Be very careful about what stirs your heart, because what stirs you leads you. What stirs you leads you. What stirs you directs your conversation. It directs your tongue. It directs your communication. What stirs your heart spills from your tongue, and what spills from your tongue creates your future story. So be careful what you speak from your beak is the truth. Be very careful what you speak from your beak. Words may seem of no consequence and of little value, but they actually have the power to create or the power to destroy, is what the Bible says. My last thought on scripting today is this, is when it comes to scripting, guard your heart, because that's the source. When it comes to scripting, guard your heart, because that's where it's seething. That's where the story is beginning, in the meditations of the heart. And so Proverbs 4:23 says this. It warns us. It says, guard your heart above everything else. Above everything else. Now, we prepared our face today to come here. Some of us have. We prepared our hair today to come here. Some of us have. We dress for the occasion. But how's your heart today? How's your heart today? Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your life. One version actually says that it sets the boundaries for your existence. It sets the boundaries for your existence. In other words, the heart determines the little white picket fence around your world. It determines where the little white picket fence goes. It determines how broad, how wide it is what's going on in the heart of us as human beings. So their heart determines the course of life. So what stirs in my heart? What overflows in my heart? I need to guard my heart from offense. I need to guard it from offense because I have opportunities to be offended every day. Offenses, not fences, but offenses, are all around us. And it's up to us whether we will choose to embrace them or choose to ignore them. Feelings, emotions, bitterness. We need to watch and be on guard for all of these things because our story flows from our heart and you can't afford to let them pierce your heart and become the meditations of your heart and the thoughts of your heart because the moment they do, they start to come out of your mouth. They start to come out of your mouth. The mouth is always a giveaway of what's in our heart. The mouth is always the indicator of what's in our heart. As Jesus said, out of the heart, the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it goes out of the heart to the mouth, which writes the story for the next chapter of life. And that's why James says in James 3:2, we get it all wrong nearly every time we open our mouth. We get it all wrong nearly every time we open our mouth. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. In other words, words are an issue for every one of us. Words are an issue for every one of us. We all fight this battle. We all have this complication. We all have this issue that we need to deal with. The truth is, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. We all have our issues. Look at your neighbor right now and say, he's preaching good to you right now. He is preaching good to you right now. We all have our issues. You know your husband has issues. You know your wife has issues. You know your friends have issues. You know your pastor has issues. I know you have issues. We all have issues when it comes to our words and our communications. We all have our bad days. I knew the moment I heard Pastor Marichal speak that word and announce that heading, it was going to be snappy. Snap or stretch? Our choice. We all have silly seasons. We all have stupid moments. Have you had a few? We all say things we wish we could take back the moment it came out of your mouth. Words, they're important. I love how the psalmist says, my heart is stirred by a noble theme. He wasn't perfect. He had his bad days. He had his issues. But he speaks of having a noble theme in the heart. What's noble mean? Noble means something that is of an excellent standard. We speak of nobility. Royalty, that kind of thought, a nobleman, a noble person, someone that is excellent, of fine standing. In our Christian language and terminology, it would be something that is praiseworthy. So my heart is stirred, the psalmist is saying, by something that is very good. Something that is very good. My heart is stirred with excellent things. And so it happens in the heart. Scripting begins in the heart. The heart is the farm where we fertilize and cultivate the future of what we want. It happens in the heart and then it comes out of the mouth. And as it comes out of the mouth, it's not just empty capsules. They are creative capsules that frame our world and our relationships and our environments. So what are you scripting for this year? What are you scripting for this year? We spoke about vision. Can I have our team come to stage, please? We spoke about vision and being all in. We spoke about sand and stars and seeing the promises of God, even though they're well beyond us from the life of Abraham. That God would speak things to people that have little that God wants to bring much towards. Are you scripting? Are we scripting to see more of what we want to see happen and less of what we don't want to see? When we speak, are we speaking with that careful, creative, constructive thought that I'm creating something right now when I talk and in the way I talk? That's why praise is really so important for a believer. That's why praise is so important. And in terms of praise, the Bible says this. This is what the psalmist says in Psalm 34:1. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise will continuously be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continuously be in my mouth. And the reality is, we don't really feel like blessing the Lord all the time. We don't really feel like blessing the Lord all the time. We really don't feel like having his praise come out of our mouth all the time. But there is a powerful principle here of exchange that happens in terms of communication with God. When we learn to bless the Lord at all times, when we learn to have his praise in our hearts continuously, something happens around the atmosphere of our lives. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? Something happens when we start to locate ourselves and position ourselves and posture ourselves in a place of praise, in a posture of praise, with phrases of praise. Something happens in a supernatural exchange when we start to do that. When we leave the complaint behind and we let praise stir our heart. We let praise stir our heart. That's why this team does on stage what they do. They do it to stir praise. Because they know when we come in Sunday morning at 9 a.m., some of us are still trying to wake up. That's why some of us come in at 9:15 a.m. and 9:20 a.m. and then some for the 9:30 service. Told you words are powerful. I just wounded a few people right then. They're powerful. And so this team try to create an atmosphere and an environment that's going to lift people as they begin to get some of God's praise in their mouth, because you need it for your circumstances. That's why you need praise. That's why the psalmist says, at all times, no matter how I feel, no matter where I've been, no matter what's going on, I'm going to locate myself, I'm going to position myself, and I'm going to have a posture of praise. I'm going to let something good and excellent and praiseworthy and noble stir in my heart. I want to have a noble theme. And church, I want to encourage you today, and I want to encourage us today to let the stirrings of our heart be noble, noble, noble. Have a noble stirring in your heart. Let the meditation of your heart be acceptable in the sight of God. And let your speech, let your communication, let your words be used to build up rather than destroy. There's power in the tongue. Life and death are in the power and the tongue. It's an authority that God has given to us. When we speak, we create. And so speak of a world you want to live in. Speak of a future story you want to host, rather than speaking of the drama all the time. Rather than speaking about what's not working all the time. If you have a complaint in your world, bring your complaint to yourself or others in a way that's going to bring about a solution. And when you bring your complaint properly, there's reward. There's reward. You try it. Try it next time you go out for dinner. Next time you go out for dinner and you find some hair in your meal, you pull it out. I want to see the chef right now. Probably not going to get you anywhere. But saying to the girl that's getting paid peanuts to serve you, hey, can I just draw your attention to the fact that I had 35,000 hairs in this meal today? And I really enjoyed the meal, but the addition of the hairs just didn't work for me. Would you mention it to the manager? because I really like this place. You'll probably get rewarded with a free meal after they spat in it. You'll probably get rewarded with a free meal or a discount on your bill, because a complaint brought appropriately is responded to with reward, be it God, be it others. Word script. We're going to get some praise in our hearts and our lips right now as we draw our service to a close today. We're going to sing about the name of Jesus. We're going to declare that He has no rival. He has no equal. See, the words of a song are like the words written by the psalmist that we started with. They're from a noble theme, and they're carefully selected to stir our hearts. So let your heart be stirred today as you speak and you sing right now about some praise for Jesus' name over your circumstances and over your situations, that Jesus would make you free, because that's what He wants to do. That's what He plans to do, to make you free. His word will make you free. His presence will make you free. His spirit will make you free and help with the script of your life and what's going on in the story of your life, and help you build for a better, brighter, and beautiful future. Let's lift our hands as we sing. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this.